This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. And presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Who's behind this conspiracy? Once again, ask the question, who has the most to gain? People in high places, their names would astound you. People in low places, concealing their activities. People in all walks of life, left-wing and right-wing, students and scholars. A conspiracy of such ominous proportion.
It's Sunday night, and you're listening to WOR 710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. And applause to all you mothers. Isn't it a great day out there up in New York and New Jersey? We're here with Frank Fenizia. How are you, Frank? Did you see your mother today?
Oh, absolutely. We saw all the moms today.
I see. It's not everybody that has all the moms, but I'm not going to go there. Oh, and for those of you, what could I say? It's just a special day, Mother's Day for everybody. Gorgeous day, of course, a lot of idiots on the road, people who never drive before. For example, you know, I drive all different times of the day. In the mornings I start driving sometimes when it's still dark out. And whether I'm going to the office or an early meeting somewhere. So I'm on the Grand Central Parkway the other morning, and I'm in the middle lane, luckily, and all of a sudden I see red lights and cars swerving in the right lane. What the heck's going on? A guy in a pickup truck stopped in the right lane on the Grand Central Parkway. His reverse lights were on because obviously he passed the LaGuardia Airport exit. You have a death wish? Are people that stupid to back up on a highway? And it's not that I just happened to see one in a year. Today, I'm in the right lane, and I see a similar scenario. A car in front of me has its left turn signal on, but the brakes on, comes to a stop. Why? He's going in the wrong direction on the highway. Cuts across three lanes of traffic to my left, goes to the center median. I mean, people are nuts. 65 mile an hour speed limit on this highway, and you're cutting across three lanes of traffic to make an illegal U-turn? It's Mother's Day. We want to live to see our mothers. If you pass your exit, go to the next exit. What is so hard about that? Frank, can you help me here?
Listen, there's no help. There's no help in trying to understand people who don't realize that passing an exit is okay. As important as we all think we are, and we all think we need to be somewhere, because it's a crisis at a specific period in time, you know what? For a couple of minutes, pass the exit, don't do anything dangerous, make a U-turn, and get where you have to go in one piece, and not threaten the lives of others on the road. It is ridiculous. There is no understanding. There is no excuse. Pass the exit, make a U-turn, and continue on with your day.
Well, pass the exit and get off the next exit to make the U-turn, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, no, don't make the U-turn in the middle of the highway. That's off the table. Yeah, if anybody construed what I said as it's okay to make a U-turn across the median where clearly we all know whether there's a sign or not. Why? Because it's dangerous. The other side of the highway is doing 65 or better as well, and now you want to go from a total standstill to magical acceleration so that you can blend into traffic? No. Go to the next exit you can and make the next legal U-turn. Not convenient, but the next legal U-turn.
I mean, that pickup truck on the LaGuardia Airport, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, So traffic wasn't, you know, very heavy, but there were cars on the road. You know, had it been 8 o'clock and the guy stops on the highway, that's it. You know, rear-end collisions, multiple car pileups, etc. Actually, one morning this week, headed into the office on the Grand Central Parkway, past LaGuardia, on the opposite side, there was a very bad accident. There was only one lane open. And in that area, just to let people know, there's four lanes of highway traffic on each side. But our side was almost at a standstill. The car apparently hit a large light post in the middle of the highway, which fell on my side of the highway, closing three of the four lanes. And on the other side, it was a disaster. There were cars all over the place. I actually, on my side of the highway, there was a spring from one of the cars that was hit on the other side. So, you know, obviously, high velocity impact. You have, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. Distracted driving kills. You know, I used to harp on distracted driving every show. Now we have some public service announcements that we play during our commercials. And, because I don't want to go crazy on this distracted driving. It's a downer. But distracted driving kills. More accidents, more percentages of people injured simply by doing things you think are okay. Let me text while I drive. Let me pick up a phone while I drive. Let me call somebody. I'm only going to take my eyes off the road for a couple of seconds. You know, those couple of seconds, you travel the length of a football field. You don't even realize it when you're on the highway. Last week, we had a lot of interesting callers. There was some good stuff going around. Let me give you our phone number. It's 800-321-0710. That's toll-free, Frank. 800-321-0710. I talked about a new law for used car dealers, or for car dealers, I guess, in general, but mostly used car dealers. Apparently, there's a lot of predatory lending going out. So maybe next week we'll have on either State Senator Jeff Klein or State Senator Diane Savino to talk about their investigative report and the laws that they are going to push through the Assembly and the Senate up in Albany. Basically, there'll be 11 bills to combat the predatory subprime auto lending practices in New York State. Here are some of the things that go on, folks. I mean, I told you about my personal experience last week. We missed Frank last week. He didn't get to hear me banter about my used car experience where I thought I had a deal. I was ready to buy a car, and, you know, the guy says there's a $500 preparation fee, plus a $500 transportation fee, plus a $500 paperwork fee, plus a $500 commission. And it just got ridiculous, folks. So, you know, when you hear any of those things, yeah, there can be a paperwork fee, you know, but not an unrealistic one. But $2,000 in additional fees from what you advertise? Here's the report. Some of the highlights of the report and the popular ploys used in the predatory subprime lending. So this is basically to avoid you paying 24% on your car loan, or in some cases you end up paying more in interest than you do for the car. So here we go. Abusively high interest rates. Some of them, especially people with poor credit, the rates hover around 24%. Abusive loan-to-value ratio financing. As I was telling you, you could wind up paying in excess of 200% of the original price of the vehicle. So if you were to get a car for $15,000 or $20,000, $20,000, you can end up paying $60,000. Dealer financing markup, unknown to many consumers who finance cars with dealers, they're legally allowed to mark up interest rates on loans. And right now, there's no disclosure requirement that exists. So what Diane Savino and Jeff Klein are going to do is make it a requirement to show them what the rates are on the loans from the dealership. And there's dealership fraud. You know, what they also do is they say, okay, we'll give you the loan, but you have to pay for VIN etching. You have to pay for service contracts. You have to pay for warranties. You have to pay for certain insurances, certain anti-theft measures in order to qualify for the loan, and then I'll guarantee you the loan. Of course, it's 24%. And in many cases, there are fraudulent loan applications where the dealers fill in a false income level just so the consumer can obtain a loan. And they bury themselves with those high-interest loans. Spot delivery scams. Well, we'll stay away from that. And basically, I mean, you get the gist of it, folks. There's a lot of bad stuff going out there. The people who could least afford to pay more end up getting the raw end of the deal. So there'll be limited dealer markup discretion with the new legislation. They'll regulate dealer advertising to show all the extra expenses if there are any. There'll be total transparency reform. And they're going to create actually a style auto loan program, it's called. It's a state loan financing for consumers with subprime credit that would help vulnerable customers obtain cars and repay their loans at reasonable rates. So, yay for those two state senators. Frank, try to get them on the show next week, one of them, okay?
I'll do the best I can.
Good man. Our email address here is taxihale@AOL.com. Once again, the last 5 minutes of the show when we're getting ready to sign off, I get a barrage of emails. If you're going to send an email and you want me to read it on the show, taxihale@AOL.com. Send it now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is a live show. You want to call? You can call us now at 800-321-0710. Now, here's something that you don't read about every day. In 2012, there was a federal transportation bill where they added Broadway in Manhattan and 7th Avenue, right around Times Square, to the national highway system. And when you added those Broadway and 7th Avenue to the national highway system, you became subject to the 1965 Highway Beautification Act. Okay? And the Highway Beautification Act says there can be no billboards that exceed 1,200 square feet. Frank, have you seen Times Square lately?
Yes, I have.
So now the Department of Transportation of New York is now facing federal pressure to remove all the billboards in Times Square. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. But, of course, the Department of Transportation says we're planning to keep the iconic billboards where they are. So there's the city against the federal government. I mean, yeah, you know, there are so many thousands of attorneys when it comes to political attorneys. So many smart politicians. You know, you have transportation commissioners. You have federal transportation people, state transportation people and departments and agencies, city transportation people. Nobody knew that by making Broadway and 7th Avenue, I just don't understand, a part of the national highway system, it was going to cause a problem. Nobody reads anymore. They say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, okay, national highway system. Yeah, maybe we can get some more money for Broadway and 7th Avenue. And by the way, if you've ever tried rush hour to go down 7th Avenue, down Broadway through Times Square, it's really bad, folks. I just can't believe that a survey some time ago, that was under a different administration, actually said that with the pedestrian malls and with Broadway down to one lane below 42nd Street, traffic moves faster than it did before. You know, they're fooling the public. They don't give the times that surveys were taken. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, every street moves faster than rush hour anywhere. You know, you got to give times, the times that the studies were done. Without the times and the days of the week, they're meaningless. You know, they can be tampered with. I believe they can be tampered with. So our phone number here is 800-321-0710. You know, I feel like Curtis Sliwa when he would say, come on, folks, call us. You know, he had like a top-rated show and, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners and nobody would call in. They liked listening. So I'll take it as a compliment. You know, last week the phones were ringing off the hook. We turned down dozens of calls and Right now, it's a slow time, so that's a hint, folks. If you want to call, now's the time to call. 800-321-0710. A few New Jersey listeners, just to make you feel good on Mother's Day, an additional 200 bridges that are owned by New Jersey will become structurally deficient in the next few years. Now, the designation that indicates the deficiency, there are three elements. The deck, or the structural supports above and below the deck. And they have to be failing and need repair. So there are negotiations now between the lawmakers and Governor Christie in New Jersey to fix the fund. Now, right now, they were talking about raising the gas tax. The gas in New Jersey, almost all the time, is 30 to 40 cents less per gallon than the gasoline in New York State. Of course, if you live in a place where New York and New Jersey share a land border, the prices are a lot closer. But if you go over the Washington Bridge, if you go from New York, it could be $2.79, and you go over the bridge into Jersey, it's $2.39, or 45 cents, I think, today. So, because this year, the New Jersey State Assembly has 80 seats up for re-election, nobody's going to vote for a gas tax. Come on. You know, who votes for gas taxes? Guys who know they're going to be there a long time and aren't going to get killed by the constituents. What can I say? So that's going on. And just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there were 330 state-owned bridges that were defined structurally deficient by the Transportation Department. So they are fixing some of them. And if anybody's interested in New Jersey, there are a total of 6,701 bridges. Did you know that, Frank?
No, I did not.
How many have you driven over?
Nowhere near the 6,000 plus, that's for sure. I think if I've driven over 50, that's a lot.
And about 2,600 are owned and maintained by the Department of Transportation in New Jersey. You know, now let's just kick into the roads. You know, how many, what percentage of roads would you think are, you know, inadequate or adequate? Well, only 47% of the roads in New Jersey are considered acceptable the last few years. So the roads are falling apart, the bridges are falling apart. The transportation fund, trust fund, is almost broke. We had Congressman Rangel on a couple of months ago talking about that. You know, most of it's $1.2 billion annual revenue now from fuel taxes on your gasoline. Also, money for the Transportation Trust Fund comes from turnpike tolls and vehicle fees. Most of that money goes to paying down the Transportation Trust Fund's debt, which is almost $16 billion. So, you know, where does it end? It's a catch-22. It's an endless cycle. It's like painting a bridge. You know, you finish one side and you say, okay, I'm done. Oops, I got to start at the beginning again. It doesn't end. It's a nightmare. What's your favorite bridge, Frank?
My favorite bridge?
Yes.
The Kosciuszko Bridge. My favorite bridge.
Well, you know, all New Yorkers know that the right way to say it is Kosciuszko. Until I had the Department of Transportation on the show a little while back, of course, they're doing a simultaneous reconstruction of a new bridge while the old bridge is open, because that's falling apart. And I know I'm gonna get calls, I'm gonna get emails. It happened last time. It was a real hot subject, especially people who live, you know, in Brooklyn and Queens and Greenpoint and those areas. The right pronunciation, I was told, is Kosciuszko. It's the Kosciuszko Bridge. I called it Kosciuszko. My father called it Kosciuszko. Everyone I know called it Kosciuszko. It's the Kosciuszko Bridge. Anyway, and if you don't agree with me, tell the Department of Transportation. Eugene, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You are our first caller this week.
I'm glad you said, hey, nobody's calling in. That's when I jumped on the phone.
Good move.
Okay. Hey, I think it'd be neat at 7th Avenue and Broadway if we added something to make the people from Asia feel at home. Let's start bringing rickshaws into the picture.
Well, we have them. They're called pedicabs.
Hey, what happens next? Do you, you figure that they'll just turn the sidewalks into more streets?
No, they'll probably close all the streets, and we'll have 6th Avenue will be only for buses. 5th Avenue will be only for bicycles. You know, Park Avenue will be only for people walking. And
what do I do? I'm legally blind.
You know, that's an interesting concept, Eugene, as far as transporting if you're legally blind. I know that a small percentage of the subway stations can handle wheelchair accessibility. What do you do if you have to travel? It sounds impossible. I can't fathom how someone who's blind can travel, for example, in the subway system.
Well, I got a question. I do hold an ADA, that's American Disabilities Act, pass down here in Philadelphia. And by the way, I love listening to WOR, and your particular operation here is great to listen to, because I've been up in New York. I see how it's changing. I don't see how you people can put up with more and more. Matter of fact, they had somebody on from the transportation system the other day, and they said with 6,000 subway cars running around, they're just at about full capacity now. What are they going to do? And also, last thing, I heard that something about the tunnel between Jersey and Penn Station is going to be closed down somewhat because they have to do the repairs after the hurricane.
And the sad thing about that, folks, and you've heard it here before, if you haven't, you're going to hear it here for the first time. Penn Station accepts trains from Washington, D.C., the Acela Express trains, from the whole East Coast, from New Jersey, and there's only one track that leads into Penn Station and one track that leads out of Penn Station. So what do we do in this great city? Instead of investing in a tunnel for more tracks or an additional tunnel in and out of Penn Station, we decide to build buildings over the train yards. What do we call that, Frank, over there? You recall?
Is it Sunnyside or something?
No, that's in Queens. But okay. That's another story. But the train yards in Manhattan, first they tried to build the Jet Stadium there. So now, right now, there's construction, and they're going to build over the holding, where they hold all the trains that go into Penn Station. So we'll have more people. No one thinks about the cars. No one thinks about taxi stands in front of any new construction. Thousands of buildings are being put up every year. Not one new taxi stand do you see. Okay? And one track into Penn Station, into New York City.
And I don't know how you people really put up with, you know, that one little island up there on a daily basis. I mean, I've been up there. I found it fun and everything, but I just can't see how much more can you take on that little island up there.
Our phone number here is 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. It's a beautiful thing. If you've ever seen it from the air, Manhattan is really a beautiful thing. There's people find ways to play around with it more and more. I'll get into the mayor's budget in New York City, which was passed a little while ago. So
okay.
Do you have an underground subway system in Philly? I don't know. I haven't been.
Oh, there. I do. I think instead of 6,000 cars like you have up there running around, we only have maybe. I retired from the transit service down here, and not as a driver or anything. But we have two underground lines. One's partially elevated, and maybe we got about 200-300 cars that run around on the service. And where you people up there in New York, it seems like you're building before you take the building down. You're already building up on the same spot. Down here, it takes 10 years just to think about it before they go to page number 2, you know. So they're slow down here, and you're extremely fast in New York in just about anything you do up there in the way of building, making changes, making things more rougher for people. And it's incredible. This is why your show is so good.
What are the differences you found in New York and Philadelphia for traveling for a person who's legally blind?
Well, we have a service called CCT, or it's a paratransit-type service. I've just got my pass because I can't even get to the bus stop now to use. I have a retiree's pass, which lets me use the system and all that, but I can't even use that now. So we have a CCT service. And really, on the side here, I am interested in getting involved and finding out about the people in the department that run it. I'm interested in everything from what they do, what the passengers think of it, and what the drivers think of it particularly, because it seems like they have an awful lot of drivers that are on there for a short time, and they just give up in haste because it's for some reason, and I don't understand it as yet, as to why they decided, I can't stand this type of job, you know? So I'm interested to find out. Matter of fact, I was going to ask you, since I do have an ADA pass, what kind of services could I find to my advantage when I do come up there? Does your taxi cab service give discounts? Do they have an ADA service up there, run by the MTA or what?
Well, right now, if you want a yellow cab that's wheelchair accessible, you simply call 311. There are other numbers to call. And you tell them you want an accessible yellow cab. Almost 5% of all yellow cabs right now are wheelchair accessible. Starting in January 2016, there's going to be a lottery system, and every vehicle, every medallion that is not an accessible medallion, every other one somehow is going to be turned into an accessible taxi. So over 4 years, there will be 50% of all yellow cabs will be wheelchair accessible. As far as the MTA goes, in order to comply with the federal Americans with Disabilities Act, they have a company called Accessoride. And Accessoride, oh, now they use a vehicle called the MV1. They've been on the show before, which is the only purpose-built wheelchair-accessible vehicle that I know of. And the Taxi of Tomorrow is starting to come out purpose-built, if I'm not mistaken. But you call Accessoride. You do need to give them notice, I believe 24 or 48 hours notice, but you can get picked up that way.
What about, like I said, I'm legally blind. Is there anything in there for me, or is it the same thing?
I often see people with canes who are blind at bus stops. As part of the deal with ADA, they were going to do a percentage of New York City buses to be wheelchair accessible, and the kneeling buses that come down to basically street level, so someone can walk right on. And they found that it didn't make sense between scheduling and building the buses, so they decided to go 100% wheelchair-accessible buses. Your best way, if you're going up and down avenues or cross town major streets, is probably, if you want mass transportation, to use the bus system, because every bus can accommodate you, and you'll find New York is very friendly in helping you also and letting you know which bus is pulling into the bus stop at that time. Or put your hand up, and yellow cabs will stop for you. Put your cane up, we'll stop.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dave. Keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Eugene. Appreciate you calling and listening to the Taxi Dave Show in Philadelphia. Last week, I shot off all the countries who listen to us, all the states who listen to us. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We do have a bunch of callers now that we've given out the number. So let's shoot to a commercial. And when we come back, I will try to take all your calls and knock them off. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We'll be right back.
Train a ride. 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train got my baby head gone.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone.
or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Remember those words of wisdom. The only woman you can trust is your mama. Woo! This is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. I want to thank somebody, Lawrence. Thank you so much. Hudson Yards. That's where they're building the buildings over the train station on the west side. Boy. Everybody knows everything out there except me. All right, let's take some phone calls. Charbel, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, and happy Mother's Day to all mothers.
Now,
question. All right. You did mention about 2016, half of the taxi fleet that's going to be handicap accessible. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's when it starts.
Does that mean half of the New Yorkers are going to be handicapped?
I hope not.
Well, what kind of stupid rules and regulations they do create at TLC? And another thing, you did mention about Broadway below 42nd and the traffic's moving smoothly. I want to know who is that stupid, where he came from, and what kind of idea he came up with.
Why? What do you think?
What do I think? They should take away the bike lane. They should open up Broadway and flow the traffic. And traffic, it's so bad below Houston Street all the way down to Wall Street.
Because I can't believe that Broadway in some places is one lane. I can't believe it. It's a four-lane road. One lane for cars. Tell me this isn't intentional.
Because of personal interest. They did that for the double-decker buses, you know, and God knows who's getting paid. And one more thing. The 34th Street between 10th and 11th, traveling east, they allowed some cars to park by the coach building. The coach, the handbag manufacturer next to McDonald's.
And this parking report is brought to you by Charbel.
Yes. I want to know who's getting that coach bag free.
Because
they do have the bus lane and the travel lane for left turn and straight.
That's right by the Hudson Yards, man. That's right by the Hudson Yards. There's no parking there. The streets are dug up, you know. I mean, there's just no parking down there. And now, in that area, if anyone wants to know, and you want to go to Boston or Washington for $1, the dollar buses are down in that area, too. 34th Street between, I think it's 11th and 12th, right in that area as well. Listen, Charlotte, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and bringing some points to everyone's attention in the conspiracy theory mode. Right, Frank?
I love it. I love it. It was a different Charvel tonight. I like it. A little edgy on a Mother's Day. I love it.
Robert, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing? Happy
okay.
Mother's Day.
Why, thank you.
And it's been a couple of weeks, so the thing is, I'm bringing in a little bit of history again, and it was a gentleman named Eric R. Ossersiskiewicz who wrote a book.
God bless you.
I can't pronounce it. It's a little difficult. And he wrote a book called The Elevated Railway to Manhattan. And it shows there the 2nd, 3rd, 6th, and 9th Avenue L's. And some of the street scenes there were from the 1940s up until about the 1960s. And pre and post up to about 2011. And that was a system that they had for moving the people. Since they did not complete the 2nd Avenue subway, that late, you know, which should have been completed in 1951, by the way.
Was never done. Did you say 1951?
Yeah.
Do you know, we're going to go back and forth here, Robert, okay?
Okay.
Because just this week, the MTA chief, Tom Pendergast,
yep.
He called upon New York City to provide a minimum of $1 billion, you ready for this?
Yep.
To start the 2nd Avenue subway's second phase.
Yeah.
I thought we were almost done with that thing.
Yeah, I know. That whole thing is, there's another gentleman named Daugherty who's got a subway track map. of all the system. And he's got thing in there, the proposed system for the Second Avenue subway. All right, every other subway line in Manhattan has four tracks.
And just to let everyone know, in Manhattan, okay, there's subways on Lexington Avenue, there's subways on the west side on Broadway, there's subways, where are the subways? 7th Avenue, 8th Avenue, 6th Avenue, but when you get over to the east side, there's no subway on 1st Avenue or 2nd Avenue or 3rd Avenue or York Avenue. So the 2nd Avenue, some people actually have to travel, go west many blocks to get a subway. So that's why.
And not only that, you add to the fact the crosstown buses are moving at the grand speed of about 9 miles an hour.
You know, I got to tell you something. You know, they're dedicating so much money to buses and bus lanes.
Yeah.
Controller Scott Stringer, the controller of the city of New York, he did a study and found that, and I mentioned it last week, one-third of all express buses are late.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a minute or two. I'm talking up to a half hour late.
Well, the thing is, over in Europe, they have had a system, and have been using it for a number of years now, where you have transit operator signals. You go to Dallas, they got transit operator signals, et cetera. You have all over the country, but here, as usual. New York is like 30 years behind everybody else.
Well, don't tell that to the politicians, because they throw enough money at everything, and that's what it's all about. Everybody wants more money. Oh, we'll solve it. Our last caller, you know, from Philly, I mean, he's telling us, and he's right, there's 6,000 train cars.
Right.
And if you rush hour standing on a train platform, how do you improve on service when it's already at capacity? So, give us $32 billion and we'll fix it. You know,
the thing was, under the old manual controls, okay, they've got all this electronics now. Okay, the old manual controls, the IRT was operating 90-second headways. That's a minute and a half. Now, that was with manual control, pneumatic signals. The stuff they've got now with the electronics, you got 2 or 3 minute headways. So in other words, it's twice as long, twice as much time to get the same trains moving. So that's the thing. It slows it down, actually. It doesn't speed it up.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing your points of view and the history in New York City. I know you listen to Taxi Dave's show all the time, and once in a while you call in. So on behalf of Frank and myself, I thank you.
And I think the thing is, the zingers are needed once in a while.
Okay. And Barry sends an email. I'm listening now and want to raise the issue of the word accident. The situation on the Grand Central Parkway that you described should not be referred to as accidents, as the problems that might arise from this reckless driving are avoidable. Accident implies that something happened that was random. Barry, you are absolutely right. This is an incident. This is, I mean, what would you call that, Frank?
About as close to as intentional as you can get. It's a good point. It's not an accident.
And, you know, he's backing up on the highway. If you get hit in the rear, I mean, most of the time, the guy who does the hitting in the rear is responsible. But backing up on the highway, yeah, that's as close to intentional, you're right. So thank you, Barry. Do appreciate that email. And Pat, thanks for sending it. We already got the answer. The west side of Penn Station that you were talking about is now the Hudson Yards. Thanks again. So a lot of listeners are calling in with that information. Okay, let me just switch here. Joe, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Taxi Dave. Good talking to you.
Same here.
Right, hey, Frank, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. How are you?
All right, I just want to call in. I love your show, and I love being, you know, a New Yorker and all that other crap. It's all good.
Oh, good. Which bar are you at?
I don't know.
We're real New Yorkers. You can tell by the way we talk. We try to have as much transparency as we can here. There aren't too many shows that give you the information we do, and to have regular guys like you calling us, it's actually an honor, and I wear it as a badge.
Exactly. I hear you. So I'm calling in to complain about how you get a taxi from a airport, and all these Uber drivers come in, and like they get blocked out. And the next thing you know, I'm paying $90 to get home, and I can get an Uber cab for like $30, if that.
You sure you don't have it backwards there, Joe?
No, maybe I do. But I paid $90. I mean, I pay, $90 to get out, and the next thing I know, it's like $30.
$90. Do you live in New Jersey? Do you live out of town? Out of New York City?
No. I take a cab from Newark Airport. Cost me $90 to get home to Ramsey, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
And I can get an Uber cab for like $30. And
well,
I
don't know what the rules and laws are in New Jersey. What I do know is we are going to have one of the state senators from New Jersey on in the coming weeks to talk about the new legislation. It's unusual that you'd say that it would be $30, because right now, and just to let you know, folks, any car, any driver can be using Uber in New Jersey. You don't need special plates like you do in New York City. You don't need the car inspected 4 times a year or 3 times a year like you do in New York City. The drivers don't need a special license like they have to have in New York City. There's no fingerprints done like they're done in New York City. Oh, there's no background check like they've done in New York City. So I can't really speak for what happens in Newark, New Jersey, and maybe you just ran across somebody who made a carbon copy of a sign of a car company, put it out and said, come on, get in, unless you're using the actual app. It doesn't sound right. From Newark Airport to Ramsey for $30, no way. No way. But I do know pretty much rates in New York City. I want to thank you, New Jersey Joe, for listening to the Taxi J Dave Show and calling in. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Our email is taxihail@AOL.com. And when we come back, Frank and I will continue the conversation. Anybody else at that bar, Joe, tell them to call in. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel. And a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
We had a guitar, a bass, and another guitar. And it went like this.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you. That's all right, Mama. Just a hit it way. That's all right. That's all right, Mama.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. What a beautiful day we had up here in the Northeast today. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. We've been taking your phone calls at 321-800-321-0710, and our email is taxihail@AOL.com. So right now, let's take a call from Frank. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Frank from Brooklyn.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
I had a ride to Great Neck, Long Island, And I told the guy, tell him it's Little Neck, and I got my shorty ticket. And his ride was $41.80. So it was like a short ride. The story is like $45. So we get unfair rides just over the Queens line into Nassau County, and it's not fair with the cabs out of JFK.
Okay, so for those of you who want to decipher what Joe is saying, if you're at LaGuardia or Kennedy Airport and you get a fare near the airport within the borough of Queens, let's say, they give you something called a shorty ticket, which lets you come to the front of the line when you get back to the airport because you didn't get a long enough ride to make up for the time and mileage that you spent there. So what Joe is saying is, you know, Long Island is actually 10 minutes from JFK Airport, I think, the part of Long Island you're talking about. Is that about right, Joe?
Yes, it's a very short ride. It's like a 25-minute ride.
Well, so if you spend 25 minutes or a half hour going there, you have to spend a half hour coming back, so there's an hour, and you should be entitled to a shorty ticket. And because it's not New York City, it's considered an out-of-town call, a prestigious call, and you have to get back to the end of the line. So for those of you listening, our regulators, not a bad idea for certain parts of Nassau County, the five towns, for example, to let Port Authority speak with Port Authority and give the drivers a shorty ticket. Why not? They have nowhere to go but back to the airport, right, Joe?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very disappointing to somebody who waits an hour or 2 hours to get a ride and then doesn't get that privilege to get back to the front of the line.
All right. How is it driving out there in Manhattan today?
I don't drive on Broadway, Dave. I used to drive on Broadway, but New York has made it very disappointing to come downtown on Broadway. I don't take Broadway from 57th down towards Houston Street anymore. It's just very unfair. The cabs don't get a chance to move around New York City, Manhattan.
What do you think the reason is?
I think it was Bloomberg's experiment that he forgot about. I think it's just an attempt to see how it goes, and never really any serious, realistic reporting on its effect on traffic flow or the life of New York City. We need to feel free out there, and we're very restricted, and it's pursuit of happiness, Dave. I mean, it's important to the driving public as well. I mean, we need to feel a little free and have a sense of love about our quality of life. And we don't have that today.
So do you usually work the airports and stay out of Manhattan, or...
Yes, but I'm 43 years on the job, Dave.
Wow.
I've called your show several times before. My name is Frank.
Frank.
I'm
easy to confuse at this age.
So, that's okay. It's just
so let me ask you something. You own a taxi medallion? Or you drive?
I do. I haven't got a chance to own, but yeah, I got a chance late in life.
And has the taxi medallion been good to you and your family?
Oh, it has. It has. It's given me a chance to not worry like I had been worrying about day-to-day survival, so to speak.
Were you able to, I don't know if you have any children, I don't know if you were able to, you know, move from renting to purchase something. Can you give us an example of how it was helpful personally? I'm just curious.
Well, it just made my monthly expenses come down, and it gave me a chance to have principal. And which meant I was able to take money out of the loan after making payments so I could use it to buy another car. Or if I wanted to go somewhere else, purchase a condo, I could do that. But I'm happy where I am. But so my expenses are small, and the value of the medallion has just been a wonderful godsend for my father before he died.
Amen.
So I got lucky.
You know, what people don't realize is there are so many independent medallion owners. Owners who own one medallion. Oh, yeah, you know, you got the handful of guys that own hundreds, but, you know, the overwhelming majority compared to them owns one medallion. Or they're partners on a mini fleet corporation, and two guys get together and buy two medallions. So they're small businessmen. And this fact gets overlooked by the media again and again. So being part of the media, let me remind you, medallions are small business. It's not the guy, okay, that owns hundreds and hundreds. It's the guy that owns one that considers it a blessing to have one and the opportunity to serve New Yorkers and better his life as well. Did I say that okay?
Fabulous, Dave. Yeah, that's heartfelt. That's heartfelt. I can see you really care. And Dave, I had a passenger tell me that he was banned from Uber because he threw up in the car. Can you believe that? That's incredible.
Isn't it usually drunk passengers who throw up in the car?
Well, that's what he did. He said he got nauseous and he threw up in the car, and he was banned from Uber.
Well,
he's telling me that because I talk to people about the new concept car because it has a little square window, and you can't roll down the window to throw up if you need to throw up outside the car, and you can't wait for the car to stop. And this guy throws up in his car. I've had that happen dozens of times over 43 years. I have big storage bags. I give them bags. They sick? Let me know. Let me know you're sick. I give you a bag. You can spit in the bag.
Oh, wait. So you're saying the passenger cannot roll down the window. Is that what you're saying?
Right. In the new concept NV200, you cannot roll down the window.
Well, see, I didn't know that. You learn something every day.
Well, when they advertise a picture in the magazines, they don't show that little square window. That's all they've got is a little square window, and you have to lean off your seat to get your head out that little square window, Dave.
So let me ask you, what kind of taxi do you own and drive?
I own the Highlander.
Okay, the Highlander, the gasoline version, I guess.
Yes, it is, yes.
A lot of guys like that car. Do passengers have trouble getting into it because it's high as a Highlander?
No, I had one little four-foot woman give me a problem, but everybody over 2.5 years has been happy.
Oh, very good.
But I can sleep in the car, Dave. When I'm waiting at the airport, I can put down the back seat and I can lay down in the car and literally sleep without getting into a fetal position. I don't have to worry about my body getting cramped. So I can do sit-ups in the car. I can keep myself in shape in the Highlander.
Very good. You impress me.
I can do leg raises. I can work on my stomach. You know, gravity is the... Oh, it's a terrible tormentor. You know, you start to gain weight around the waist. You want to lose that weight.
I'll tell you, driving 12 hours in New York City is really taxing on your body. So any exercise you can get, that's why you'll see people walking around the perimeter of the airport while they're waiting for a fare to get called to a terminal, just to get the blood flowing through all parts of your body. Listen, Frank, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and for calling in.
Thanks, Dave.
Here's an email. Chris from Brooklyn says, "Hey, Taxi Dave, I can totally relate to your story on the Grand Central Parkway because driving in the city is becoming more ridiculous with all these new rules they are throwing, but also from these maniac drivers who think they're invincible behind the wheel. They break every rule on the road. People gotta wake up and realize driving is a privilege, not a right. The only peace of mind I get on the road is when I head upstate once a week to get away from the craziness of New York City and its drivers." Well, thank you very much, Chris, for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and responding with your email. Let me just see what we got here. Oh, got a lot of emails here. Let's see if I can read through them so quick. No, I'm not going to watch a YouTube right now. Thank you so much. Is there any designated stops to pull over for those wheelchair-accessible cabs to pick up and drop off? It isn't more difficult to move around. Oh, it isn't more difficult to move around with a WCA cab, wheelchair accessible cab, and found a safe place to load and unload the handicapped passengers with their scooter in a completely jammed New York City streets. Well, there we are. Steve, I want to thank you for that email. So just picture it. Someone in a wheelchair wants to get into a yellow cab, and pick any street that you work on, any street you've been to in Manhattan, and picture a cab now. Have the driver gets out, has to pull out a ramp from the back, or if it's an MV1 from the side, which might be easier, but pull out a ramp from the back, push the passenger into the vehicle, put the ramp back in, lock the passenger down, and get into his car. And this writer on this email designated stops to pull over for wheelchair-accessible cabs to pick up and drop off. Maybe there should be. Maybe there should be one on each block. Each block that has meters. This is where a cab can pick up an accessible person. You know, we're having enough trouble getting taxi stands as it is. You know, they'll add 13 or 15,000 licenses for an app dispatch company, but there's no new taxi stands. And the taxi stands that exist, you know, you have different vehicles sitting in the taxi stands. So thank you. Hey, Dave, the fare out to JFK to Five Towns is a shorty. Oh, okay. Never mind. Hey, we get it all here, folks. Let's see. Let's take Junior. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, and good evening, Dave. Thank you for my complaint or what I wanted to talk about today is one, yes, last week I went to go pick up my cousin from the airport, and I was in Terminal 4, and Dave, you will not believe it. It's like a jungle out there. You don't see any police. You see hustlers everywhere. And literally, as the passenger getting from international and the hustler talking to them, you need a ride, you need a ride. I'm like, what is this? And I started driving 2008. And before that, I used to work in the airport for the company, and police used to be around. But now, you don't see any police. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you get to JFK, I notice it at Terminal 8 and also Terminal 4, it's like they have a session. It's like all Uber drivers. And it's like nobody say anything to them. It's like their personal parking spot. So why use the parking lot if you're going to get your own personal parking spot?
But Junior, I want to thank you for listening to the Taxi Dave Show, calling in. You got to call in earlier because guess what, Junior? We're out of time for this week. Robert, George, Mike, Cindy, sorry, can't get to you. But call back next week a little earlier. This is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And I got to go now. Hey, taxi, take me down Broadway.
This has been a podcast from WOR.